Amen. I'm glad you're here. This is Greater Family Month. Every month we've had an emphasis. December be greater giving. And this is Greater Families. We have wonderful families in our church and praying that God will add more. We've got some wonderful folk who are visiting with us. And they've been visiting for some time. And I appreciate them. And we count them. Now, I usually tell folk who come and visit with us, if they are have maybe moved into the area, they're Christians, they know the Lord. And maybe they're somewhere within driving distance, and maybe God's leading them to another church from where they're currently at. And I always tell them, I said, now I'm not trying to get other people's church members. If God leads you here, we want you to come. But while you're praying and trying to get direction in the mind of God, you consider me your pastor. I'll come anytime you need me. If you need anything, you let me know. We'll pray. These people around here love you. They'll treat you like family, and because that's what we are. We are family. Now, family is not constituted by numbers. We have in our church some widows and widowers, and they are our family. Some of them have children and grandchildren. Some of them don't have that, but they are family. Sometimes we just have couples, man and his wife. They're considered a family. And then you're part of God's family. If you got saved, you're part of the worldwide family of Christians. And then if God sent you here to be a part of this ministry here, you're part of this family of this local church. And Brother Luis and I were talking the other day when I preached a message on things in regard to suffering, and we talked about sometime in families. You know, when you get saved, you live for God, sometimes there's conflict even among your family because you're saved, not because you think you're better than they are, but because their way of going, their lifestyle is different than yours, and so you just have that. And I made mention to him that, you know, in some respects, I'm closer to, and I have brothers who have both made professions of faith, but they live distances away, and I've been in the ministry now for 50 years, and I've been gone, don't see them very much at all. But in so many respects, I'm closer to the men in this church than I am to my natural brothers. They are my brothers, and some closer than others just simply because of the contact we had, not preferring one over another. But I thank the Lord that I have Christian brothers and sisters in here. And I used to say I've got a lot of Christian mamas, but now I've done got so old, praise God, I got a lot of Christian grandchildren in here. But I do thank the Lord for you being here. Now, what we want to do through this month, and I didn't announce it ahead of time, because like Thomas missed the resurrection of the Lord, seeing the Lord for the first time, and he just missed. And so I didn't announce this. But every Sunday in November, I want to recognize three families. Miss Trudy, with everything else she had going on, she was kind enough this week to get us some gifts for three families. And right here is a list of the folk that are considered families. She did it from our church directory, and our newer families are in here as well that may not appear in our last church directory. And so what I want to do is I want to recognize these families. Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot. You don't have to preach or testify or anything, but I want to recognize you. Now, I told Brad, I said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be through at 12 o'clock. He said, uh-huh. But I promise you I will. I have said my sermons like bologna. You can cut it off anywhere you want to, and it's still good. But I got to thinking bologna may not be the best way to describe a sermon. Nahunta sausage, hey, man. Mine's as good as Nahunta sausage. Y'all know that's good. Mason went to children's church. Andrew, you come here. I'll trust you. I believe anybody else does. Now, if you draw your own name, it's going to be a question, Mark. I'm going to just tell you. I want you to pick out three of them, just any three. Amen. Now, thank you. Now, don't go so far, because if they're not here, we got a problem. No, we don't have a problem. We're just going. And this is very like we got folks on vacation and other people, some people who had to work and have a schedule here this morning. But I thank the Lord. This is a blessing. You ain't going to believe this. The first one he pulled out of all of this right here is Brother Timmy and Amanda Rees. Now, Amanda is in the nursery. Brother Tim, I want you to come. Amen. Right there it is, praise God. Isn't that a blessing from heaven? That's just an assurance to him that God's on the throne and he's a blessing, amen? And he's coming. Is Kevin now and his family back here? I didn't see that. Brother Kevin, y'all come on. Miss Marie's there. Is Kevin here today? Is he working? All right. That's all right. We want y'all to come. All kids, come on. Amen. Brother Jimmy and Judy Johnson. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise God. What a blessing. I don't know what's in any of these gifts, but I want you to meet these families. Miss Marie, you'll have to talk unless we and get one of the boys to do it for you. Tim, I want you to come and just say a word about your family, Amanda and the children, and just very brief. But I want you to know, Brother Tim, this is who you just prayed for right now. Some of you may not know Brother Tim Reed. Come on, step right up here, bud. Amen. Praise God.
I don't say a whole lot, so I'm kind of quiet, but I love my wife and my children and my mom and dad and the church family.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, buddy. I love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Tim, we love you. Thank you for being a part. Amen. And Miss Marie, if you'll come, you can't just assume she was going to speak. All of these, this whole family, Kevin, they were all involved in Judgment House from the beginning to the end. And I thank the Lord for Miss Marie.
Kevin worked last night, so he's sleeping in the camper. So we came this morning. But we've enjoyed being at church and being involved in everything, and I appreciate having things that the teens can be involved in, because a lot of churches do stop about sixth grade, I have found out. So having the teens involved in church keeps them here instead of somewhere else, and we've all just benefited from everything that's done here at the church, and we just love it.
I've been introduced to children, so everybody knows the children.
This is my adult child, I realized a couple weeks ago. That's Dawson.
Yeah.
That's Sarah. She's my littlest, and that's Justin in the back. He's my middle child.
Amen.
Thanks.
God bless you, Miss Marie. Bless your heart. Thank the Lord for y'all. Amen. God bless you. Dawson, I really like you, and I like that coat. Amen. I know some of you think I'm almost saved now.
Leave the coat somewhere.
Brad is a Carolina fan, and we can't hardly wait to basketball season. Then I saw highlights of Duke last night in their exhibition game. They beat somebody like 137 to 50. I said it might be a long season after all. Amen. But anyhow, Robin will be happy. Robin West is a Duke fan. These people are precious to my heart. I never go by the corner out here. I don't think about Ms. Doris, Judah's mama. And that's a lot, several times a day. But Brother Jimmy and Miss Judy are a blessing. And Brother Jimmy and Miss Judy, y'all come. And both of you can say something. Jimmy, you can say whatever you... Amen. God bless you.
I just want to thank Brother Billy for this. I was saved over there at the old church 53 years ago.
Hallelujah.
God,
thank the Lord.
We were singing, "How Great Thou Art," and he's still great today.
Amen.
God bless all of us.
Praise God. I love that. You won't say a word?
No. Well... I do. I've already been crying this morning because that song Timmy and Brendan Cabot sung a while ago was blessing to me. It always had their blessing in my heart. I love all three of them. So my tears are streaming this morning.
Amen.
But I love Preacher Billy. He has been a blessing to Jimmy and I for a long time. It's hard for me, but I get through every day. By the grace of God, he gets me through.
Amen.
This life. God bless all of you. I love everybody in this church.
Love you. God bless you. Love you. God bless you. God bless the Lord. Love y'all. What a blessing they are. Amen. And their children and their families, and I thank the Lord for them. Anyhow, everybody has gone through some tough times, hadn't they? Now, thank you, Brother Brad, for all you do for the Lord. I didn't mention April a while ago. I knew if I started naming all the folk we were praying for. And so we'll have this, and thank the Lord for those three families. And every Sunday this month, now I want to recognize three families, and thank the Lord for you being here. Amen. If we don't recognize you, it's just going to be because Andrew didn't pick your name. I don't know who will pick next week for me, but we love every one of you, and thank God for you. I want us to read this morning. I want to go back and read a couple of passages of scriptures. You follow with me as we read. Go back to the book of Genesis, if you will, please, and in chapter number 1, Genesis chapter number 1. I'm going to read a verse or two here, and I know you'll think I'm reading a good bit of Scripture, but I think the Word of God is sometimes, well, it is all the time more important than what I say. But in Genesis chapter 1, here is God's creative act. I personally believe that creation took place in 6 days, and the seventh day He rested. And notice it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. The foundation and the formula for family was a creative act of God in the Garden of Eden. He made a man and a woman. If you read on further, He says, "Now you be fruitful and multiply." That is to have children. That's God's format. That's God's plan and formula for the family. Now, a family, as I mentioned a while ago, is not always constituted of a man and a woman and children. But God's still in families. He said in one of the pastor's scriptures that I was looking as I was researching, He setteth the solitary in family. And that means that sometime there are individuals that He makes a part of a family, and a family around the church house, a family of God. And He sets them in a family, gives them a connection, gives them a fellowship with folk. And so that passage of Scripture, God ordained family. Let me just mention this to you. I won't take time to read all of these this morning, but in the book of Genesis chapter 12, He calls Abraham. Abraham becomes the father of the Jewish nation. Abraham, then his son Isaac, who was offered in type like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jacob, one of the grandson, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and he had 12 children. That makes the 12 tribes of Israel. But He made this statement to Abraham, and then again in Genesis, it's repeated to Jacob, his grandson, and He said, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, the families, if you take Webster's 1824 dictionary, family can include, and initially the first definition of it is a man, a woman, and children in family, and their descendants, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Now, I thought Regina and I were blessed to have 10 grandchildren. I heard of a dear lady who went to heaven not long ago on the Dunn Station when they were given the obituaries. She had 128 grandchildren and then great-grandchildren on top of that. And first thing I thought, that is a lot of socks to buy for Christmas. And but I thank the Lord for families. But you don't have to have that many to have a family. You're part of a family here. But then I think about, He said that in thee shall all the nations of the earth be all the families of the earth be blessed. And He was speaking of a collective group of people, not just individual families, but all of mankind. Now, the blessing that came through the seed of Abraham, and it's called seed, according to the book of Hebrews, singularly, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God intended to bless families through the giving of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned to you and Hilton and Gay here this morning to get a chance to speak to them. But I mentioned the first church I ever pastored was over in Selma. And her uncle, Brother Walt Peden, was one of the most humble Christian servant men I've ever met. He was deacon there where I pastored at. He and I visited together a lot. And he wanted me to go with him to visit a relative. And the man was an alcoholic. And we went into the home, and as we shared the Word of God, the man got saved. He and his wife and a teenage daughter, and later a son was to be born that I never knew anything about. And at any rate, God worked a miracle, and they got saved, and they were faithful members of the church. And I really wasn't there all that long, about a year before I left to go to Tennessee Temple Schools. But I've made it, continue to have contact with them through the years, and God's been good and blessed. But anyway, I remember that right when we first came here, that Brother Walt and some of the family came one time. And then, of course, some of Gay's family's been several times. But I got a phone call from a young man over in Selma. And he said, "Is this Brother Billy Cashwell?" And I said, "It is." He said, "I've been wanting to thank you for probably 30 years. And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you came to my home and Walt Peden, and my daddy got saved. He said, I want to thank you. You don't know me. I got born after you left, but I didn't grow up in an alcoholic's home. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a home with people who loved God, loved me. I grew up, went through high school, graduated from college, owned my own business. I've been waiting all this time to say thank you for telling my daddy about Jesus. He came to bless families. That's what salvation's all about. I love that old song. It's a gospel song. They sing about the fellow. He said he doesn't live here anymore. I think Timmy sings that song. And you got a brand new daddy now. They used to go run and hide behind the door. But he came to bless families. Now, with all of that said, I'm going to say a lot about families this month. But I want you to go with me now to a New Testament passage in the book of Galatians. Galatians. And I got 8 minutes to preach an hour sermon. I want to read the text, though, in the book of... Did I tell you Galatians first? Galatians first. I'll go there first. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 22. And listen to what it says. I've kind of finished up last month talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God and worshiping the Holy Spirit of God, and then last Sunday on Fellowship of the Suffering of Christ. But here in Galatians chapter 5, he talks about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I don't care how big your family is. If you had love in it, it'd be a great family. If you had joy in it, it'd be a great family. If you had peace in it, it'd be a great family. If every member of that family practiced long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, it'd be a great family. If every member of that family showed meekness and temperance, which is self-control, it would be a great family. We are praying that God would give us greater families, but we cannot have greater families without the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Jimmy said it right, been saved 53 years, and they sang, How Great Thou Art. He said, He's still great. And God's a great God. He wants to bless your family. And the way He does that is through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I share this story, and then I'm gonna give you three little points and a few little things on them real quick. Some time ago, many years ago now, Brother Avery Rogers, I've mentioned him so many times. I wish you had the joy of knowing. You get to know him when you go to heaven. But Brother Avery Rogers pastored great churches, two great churches at the same time in Victoria, Texas. Both of them over 2,500 people. It's amazing how God used him to do that. Plus, he preached them out every night of the week somewhere else in revival. And God used him that way. But Brother Avery said that on one occasion, he was going off to preach a revival. And in the city where he pastored, Victoria, Texas, the famous evangelist, Hyman Appleman. Now, Hyman Appleman, some of you may know that name. You may have seen his name in publication. But he lived many years ago. But Hyman Appleman was a converted Jew. He was a Jewish lawyer. And he got saved by the grace of God, and he became a world-renowned evangelist, and God used him. Millions of people got saved under his ministry. But it was announced that he was coming to Victoria, Texas. And Brother Avery said to his wife, Ollie, he said, Ollie, I want you to go. I want you to go hear Dr. Appleman for me while I'm gone. You go hear him. And so he went off and he preached the revival when he came back. And the first thing he asked his wife after they greeted was, how was Dr. Appleman? She said, oh, Avery, you should have been here. She said, he is more like Jesus than any man I've ever met. And Brother Avery said, at once he felt a sense of joy and then sadness. He turned away from his wife, he said, and he went in my study. And he said, I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, Lord, I've lived with this dear woman for many years. I wish that she could say to me that you're more like Jesus than any man I've ever met. God help me to be like Christ in my own home. What I'm saying to you is this, if you're going to have a great home, you got to have great Christians. Got to have a great Christian daddy, great Christian mama, a group of Christian kids, or great individuals in your home. And that's what it's all about. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Some of the things I'm going to talk to you about, you say, Brother Bill, I can't do that. I guarantee you, none of the things I'm going to talk about, I can't do. Only He can do that. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, where's excess? Turn over there. I'll read that. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice what it says, if you will, please. He's talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And he says this, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Randy, I think, preached along this passage of Scripture. But having said that, he said, you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 18, verse 19, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're filled with thanksgiving. You see that? If you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you get filled with thanksgiving. And if you're full of thanksgiving, you can't be a murmurer or a complainer. You can't complain all the time about your husband or your wife or your children. You can't complain all the time about what you don't have or all the burdens you have, all the expenses you have, all the sickness you have. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're filled with thanksgiving. You're filled with a heart of thankfulness. And speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But then he goes on this. He said, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And then he said this, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now skip over to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. And then he goes on and says, Father, don't provoke your children to wrath. What I'm saying to you is this. It interesting that when he talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he did not talk about being an evangelist. He didn't talk about being a big soul winner. He didn't talk about being real active in your local church. He talked about when you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you get filled with thanksgiving. And when you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then you learn to submit yourself one to another. Wives learn to be submissive to their husband. Husbands learn to love their wives like Christ loved the church. They learn how to obey, and then to honor their father and mother. That's what he said. If you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that's the natural outgrowth of that. It's one thing to act like a Christian at church, but the real test is at the house. Is it real at home? And if you're going to have great families, if you're going to have a great church, what's taught and preached in the Word of God and what you say you believe about the Word of God has to be lived out at home. Now, I've got three little points. I got 1 minute. I started to say I had 9 minutes. I got 1 minute. Number one, he said in the first place, you speak to yourselves, and then he talks about others. Number one, to have a great family, the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God must affect your speech. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You ever heard that? Is that old? Am I too old? Has anybody in this world, thank you, praise God. I thought I'd done lost you completely. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie. I can remember things that were said to me when I was just a kid that I've never forgot. Good things, bad things, it's still there. You're the same way. You can remember things that your daddy said to you, your mama said to you, your brother or sister said to you, teacher said to you, somebody on the street, a friend or somebody. Those things that are said to you affect you sometime for the rest of your life. And I submit to you that one of the most important things we need to ask God to help us with at the house is our speech, what we say to one another, and how we talk to one another. Brother Wayne Warren's got a wonderful testimony about that. I appreciate he and Ms. Jackie being here this morning. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it will affect your speech to one another. He said this, that our speech ought to be to edify, speak that which edifies, builds up. He said, let your speech be with seasoning of salt. Let me show you this one verse in Proverbs chapter 15. In Proverbs chapter 15, now don't worry, I'm going to cut this sausage off here in a few minutes, but I promise you it'll come back. You'll hear it later. But I want you to look in Proverbs at this one verse. Maybe you take it home with you. In verse number 15, chapter 15 of the book of Proverbs, look at verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. Now, there's a saying that is absolutely 100% gospel truth. I don't think it's in the Bible, but I know it's true. If mama ain't happy, it ain't nobody happy. How many of you heard that? And that's true. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Wouldn't you think your determination of joy would be on what others say to you or about you? You understand? He said the way you respond is where your real joy is at. The Bible said when Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. Our speech ought to be seasoned with salt. Our speech to one another ought to be to edifying. And that has to do with the way mama talks to the children and to the husband. It has to do with the way the husband talks to the wife and to the children. It has to do with the way children talk to mom and dad. Honor thy father and thy mother. I hear people talk about children. Mama, an old-timer saying, mama said, don't sass me, boy. Does anybody know what that means? You might not know what it means, but I do. And I know what the next thing out of her mouth was, and it wasn't good. How you speak to your husband, how you speak to your wife, how you speak to your children, how you speak to each other will affect you. That's the first point. I'm through. I'm quitting right now. That's about all y'all can handle for the day. But you need to learn how to... I'll share something with you. Am I an expert? No. But I know what the Bible says. And I ask God to help me to give some wisdom during this month. But I want you to ask God to help you in this area of your speech. These little thoughts, just real quick. Number one, you need to learn what to say. You need to learn when to say something. You need to learn how to say something, the way you say it. And then you need to learn why you say it. Because we say things and then we say, I didn't mean to hurt you, but way down deep in our heart, we really did. You really did mean to hurt her. You really did mean to hurt him. You really did mean to hurt mom and daddy. And you see, the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And it's a heart condition. It's a matter of the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, because the first thing it says about the fruit of the Spirit is this, it's love. And what comes out of our mouth ought to be spoken in love. I'll go in more detail about that later. But can I tell you, when I preach on the cross, and you think about the gore of the cross, all the physical suffering, all the emotional suffering, all the blood and everything, and how in our passion play and that Tim and Wendy and all of you do, and it's so vivid in your mind. But you know, of all the things that go on around Calvary, the one thing that hits me most every time is this statement, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He didn't take it personally. He loved them. And what comes out of our mouth ought to be always spoken in love by the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. What you say to your husband, what you say to your wife, what you say to your children, what children say to mom and dad, you'll never, ever be able to take back. Never. Never. We need to learn how to speak. And when you get full of the Holy Ghost of God, it affects your speech. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Father, we pray, God, you'd give us greater families. In order to have greater families, we need greater individuals. Our Father, even in the drama, the words of James were used quite often. And Lord, we understand that the tongue is an unruly evil. It's a fire, it's set on fire of hell. And it can hurt and break and affect lives forever. Just one word, one sentence. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, that you'd set a seal on my mind, on my heart, and God, that you'd help me to be obedient to you. When I speak to my wife, when I speak to my children, my grandchildren, and to our fellow church members, and to God's people, and to lost people, God, help me, Lord, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that when I speak to people at Food Line, in Dollar General, and wherever I go, and those people who like me, and those people who don't like me, and those people who are kind to me, and those people who are unkind to me, God, help me to speak to them differently than they speak to me. I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd help us at home, that our Father, our speech, no corrupt communication would come out of our mouth, but only that which is to edify and to be a blessing. And God, I pray the Holy Spirit of God help us to do that. And now, Father, I want to thank you for how you spoke to us. You said in the book of Hebrews that you had in days gone by spoke to us by your prophets. But in this last time, you spoke to us through your Son. What love that is. What a love statement. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God, I would pray this morning that seed's been sown and lives will be changed. I pray, God, that God's people will pray, God, the Holy Ghost, set a seal on my mind, my heart, and on my lips, Lord. I want to say just what you want me to say. And I pray at home that we will not say things in anger or bitterness or hurtful. God, help us to just mind the Holy Ghost, be filled with him. God, I thank you for what you do. I want you to stand together with your heads bowed for just a few moments. I know this has not been a long sermon or message or whatever. And I'm convinced God, the Holy Ghost, you're living in a wicked world right now. And I believe God has given you two places of real refuge. And we'll be able to make it in this world if we honor God in those. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You need a good church home. You need a good church family, and you need to be a part of that family, not a spectator, but be involved. You need to pray one for another, love one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another. Be a part of that family. God gave you that as a refuge. This is a place of blessing, a place of fellowship. But then he gave you a family, maybe a small family. Maybe you have just one in your family, just you right now at home. Maybe just husband and wife. Maybe a big family. God gave you a family, and that place is your place of refuge. It ought not to be a place of bitterness. It ought not be a place of tension and conflict. It ought to be a place of blessing and refreshing. Ought to be able to get out in the world and be out in the world and then come home and find a place of peace, a place of joy, a place where there's just glad to be home. I pray, God, to make that real at your house, my house, everybody else's house. If we could ask God for one thing today, let's ask him to help us to obey the Holy Ghost. Brother Wayne Warren, I want you to come. While we have our heads bowed, I had no idea Brother Wayne's going to be here, but he told me a testimony, and then God gave him a prayer. Brother Wayne, if you feel led, say just a brief word about how that prayer got in your heart that you pray every day. If you'll mention that if you want to, and then pray that prayer and then lead us in a prayer. We're not giving an invitation for you to come around the altar. If you want to, the altar's open. But I want you to listen to the Holy Ghost. I'd whole lot rather change him change you and things be different in the house than from come down here and it not be no different at home. I want God to do a work in your heart. Brother Wayne, thank you for coming. I know God sent you here to share just a little brief word in that prayer.
One morning I got up and there was just a handful of dirty dishes in the sink. And as usual, my wife got up and I made coffee. And I flew hot because I had to move dirty dishes to wash a filthy coffee pot. I went to the woods to pray. I couldn't find God anywhere. He spoke to me and said, "You go back and make it right with your wife. Then you come back here and I'll meet with you." I went back to the house, told her I was sorry, and asked her to forgive me. Then I went back to pray. God laid a prayer on my heart. I have shared that. I actually preached a message on that one time. I've had people call me and write it down. They said, "Brother Wayne, it works." Father, bridle mine and my wife's tongue this morning. Coat us with your armor. Strengthen our shield of faith and give us the strength to resist the devil so he will flee according to your word. Keep evil away from us. Empty us, clean us, and fill us with fresh oil this morning. Wow. It's amazing, Brother Billy, this message and how that prayer the Lord laid on my heart sort of blended in together. That was just heaven sent. That can be a corporate prayer for your church. Bridle our tongues. Coat us with your armor. It can be an individual prayer. I pray it individual a lot of times. But you know, all of a sudden, the little dirty glass and all the little things of the world doesn't matter at all. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for Brother Billy and this message. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost of God here this morning. Thank you for just a little glimpse of the glory. Bless this time of season. And Father, I do pray that each one here will start at home being filled, asking you to anoint their heads with oil daily. We love you, Jesus, in your precious name.